I'm going to read to you from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 3, the 8th and 9th verses. This may be a little bit... Oh, wow, we don't have screens today, do we? Maybe a little different than in the version you're looking at right now. This is the old revised standard. For we are fellow workers for God. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are fellow workers for God. You are God's field, God's building. Happy Labor Day. It's the weekend when the pre-Christmas sales begin in earnest. Wow. You know, this started in the late 1800s as a celebration of the labor movement in America. The very first group, the kind of one got, they were called the Knights of Labor, and they were the kind of the precursor to the labor unions. It seems as if the early large corporations, you know, you've heard the phrase and from those days, the robber barons, the large corporations, they were trampling on laborers' rights, and a movement was needed to balance the scales. How about now? How is it now? Are we still in need of that same movement, labor movement within our world? I don't know. I do know this. I do know that the middle class is being hollowed out. I refer you to Joseph Stiglitz in his book. Google him and see, but he's an economist who says that we are carving out what would have been called in earlier days the lower middle class, and that fewer people are owning most of the resources. This morning's passage makes the claim that each will receive wages according to the labor of each. And where was I? Several observations and suggestions for you, for your work. First, we tend to separate our lives, don't we? We were talking this morning. We tend to separate our lives into bracketed categories, don't we? There's work, there's play, and there's retirement. I'm not sure what that is. But we do, we separate our lives into mental categories, and we kind of draw barriers between them, don't we? Those categories include age too, don't they? We're too old for this, or we're not old enough for that. We saw a movie recently, and it was about the life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I don't care what you think about her politics one way or the other, but you have to admire her so much. She is 86 years old, battled cancer 4 times. She literally was the beginning of the legal side of the women's movement in America. An amazing life. And she is not through yet. In separating our lives into categories, we label one of them religion, and we donate Well, what, hour a week, 2 hours a week, prayer time, 2 hours, 15 minutes a week. We donate that hour or two to God. I want to tell you today, forget the categories. Forget the work, play categories. One reason is that if you forget the categories, work becomes more fun and play, oh, I can't even begin to tell you how much fun that is. Forget the categories. I am having as much fun as I've ever had being too old to be a full-time minister. Well, there is the memory thing. But religion has no place or time. Remember what religion means, right? Ligare, ligament, being tied to God. Our being tied to God is not on the clock. I've told you about this fellow in the past. His name was Brother Lawrence, and he was a kitchen worker in a convent. But learned people would travel hundreds of miles to sit at his feet and learn from him as he banged the pots and pans in the convent kitchen because he was so wise. I advise you to read his little book. Or actually, he didn't write it. They compiled it from his lessons later. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And Brother Lawrence said there is no difference in the time he is banging pots and pans in his kitchen and the time he is on his knees at prayer in the sanctuary. Would that we could come to an understanding of our relationship with God, that would be the way we look at our religion. Thirdly, give your work, your labor, that the work that you are paid for. Give your work the place of honor in your life that it deserves. All work is honorable. When I was in seminary at TCU, I would have to park far away because I couldn't afford the good parking lot. And I would walk by the construction of a new building to get to the building that was housed the graduate seminary. I met George. George was a ditch digger digging a line to go into the new building. And the first morning I walked by, he greeted me. He greeted every student that walked by him. Good morning. Top of the day. I got to know George because he was there almost as long as I was. And we would have short conversations. And he always gave me, I was in grad school. And this ditch digger gave me words of encouragement that were so wise, so meaningful, that I cherished that 30 seconds that I was in his presence. Give your work the place of honor in your life that it deserves. And then bring your joy to work with you. If you're in a work situation that is not fun, that is partly your fault. It really is. If you bring your joy to work with you, I promise you, it will be infectious or it will get you fired that day. Either way, your joy is a part of your life, and don't leave it at home. I believe that a joyful workplace is probably a productive workplace. I've known several people that I knew a little bit about their work lives, but I knew them personally, and I need to talk about Jack a minute, Lenore, because everyone in here was touched by Jack Bechtel's smile. He always had that smile. In fact, the first when I met Reverend Jesse, his other minister, that was the first thing he said to me was Jack's smile. Well, when I was talking to his son, and his son recounted this in his testimony, he said, "My dad was a pretty big deal in the auto industry." Whoa. Jack never told me anything about it, but the way his son said it, I knew that it was real. And I knew at that moment that Jack's joy had been a part of his work life. He just couldn't help but treat people that way. And then, my last piece of advice. Never, ever, 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 ever retire if you don't want to. What's your occupation? What does that word mean? What does that word even mean? Your that which occupies your life. What is your occupation? Bobby Harris's occupation is helping to run the biggest food industry in Montgomery County. I know a lot of you whose occupation is involved right here in meaningful ways that make a difference in hundreds of people's lives. What occupies your life, your interest, and your time. Concentrate on that and then give it your all. Okay, back to our scripture. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose. Question. How do y'all know I'm fixing to get finished here? Is it the way I Every time I get to the last paragraph, Richard gets up before I start the paragraph. Okay. Pay attention to me, boys and girls. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? In your work, in your life, do you know what your purpose is? We're going to talk about that joint purpose that we have in about 3 weeks. But you ought to know that. You ought to know what is your purpose in life. And then Paul says, each will receive wages according to the labor of each. That doesn't mean that if you're really, really, really religious, your heavenly wages are going to be better. I don't think that it means that. The wages are your benefits, right? It's the benefit you derive from that which is your labor. What are the benefits to your living your best and highest purpose? You can do that. Those mental calculations, you know that if you're living your best and highest purpose, your life will be happier, it will have more meaning, more people will crowd around you to be close to you. You will just have a better life. So those are our wages, aren't they? And then he says, you are God's field, God's building. We belong to God. It's as simple as that. Our lives come from God. We will return to God. It's as simple as that. We are God's. If you live your life consistent with these underpinnings, your life will not be fractured into disparate parts. There will be a wholeness to your life. Your life will have a wholeness, a completeness to it that you can't know otherwise. Your work will have meaning. Like George the ditch digger. Like Brother Lawrence the kitchen helper. Like Jack the automaker. Have a joyous and peaceful Labor Day. Amen.